You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
What's going on, y'all? This your man, Chris, one half of the Brothers Layman. We want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Black Is Break. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode about the issues of color. It was a great discussion. Well, this episode, we'll be wrapping up that discussion in the round table. We got myself, KC, Toria, Tash, Darius, the other Chris, and Jamie. This one, we get into dealing with issues of color at an early age. Also, when a color is in season, you know, how light skin is in and all that. And we get into issues of color within the family. If y'all want to give any comments, any feedback to us, please do. We'd love to hear it. Hit us up on Twitter at Black Is Online, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Email us, kc@blackisonline.com. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. I always want to thank you for listening and supporting Black Is. We always appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the show. Every dark skinned person of every race gets it. Yeah. That's the thing with it. It's like every race, like, and like that. It seemed like in Indian cultures.
Well, they started.
They all do that.
Authors of the caste system, you know, and the red dot and the white dot. You know, I mean, this is nothing new.
Right. But it's especially a very special situation in the United States because of our history with racism. I know I was in Costa Rica volunteering for. First of all, I didn't know it was so many black people that looked like me in Costa Rica. I was like, what? I thought everybody was like, you know, brown skin or, you know. Mm-hmm. But down there, I had to get used to people shouting out, calling me negrita. Hey, negra, negrita. And I'm like, well, they call me, it sounds too much like the N-word. But then I realized they even call white people blanco. They call the Chinese man chino. They're not putting all that energy on it. That, you know, socially that we put on it
right.
here,
mm-hmm.
even though they do in some of the countries. Mm-hmm. But in Costa Rica, it's like, that's just what you are. There's nothing behind it. So
there's no connotation, negative.
No, I'm just calling you brown because you're brown.
Right.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
A lot of those countries in Central America, they mix with the Garifuna people, man. The black African people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was actually a stop before the Americas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were outcasted from their own country, so they... was sent to Honduras first, and then they spread it to Belize and Salvador, Guatemala, all that, Costa Rica, really in like Panama.
Yes, beautiful black people.
Oh, man.
There.
But they don't speak a lick of English. They talk, Espanol.
I learned more Spanish in 4 months than I did in 7 years studying.
Immersion.
Well, maybe our generation will be the one that really helps diffuse.
Our generation or the next generation?
No, we're too caught up.
We're still too caught up.
I bet you when the kids, Isley and even Eli, are in school, I bet you they're still dealing with, like, good hair. I mean, has Eli come back home from school and mentioned that someone mentioned good hair? Has good hair even come up?
No.
Oh,
not
good.
In regard to him.
He colors his pictures brown with us.
Yeah.
If he's drawn and actually coloring the faces, he will pink, brown, and, you know, for other colors.
Or he'll just make us all different colors. I'm green, he's red, child. He's blue, and he's purple.
Oh, that's good. That's
but
good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Pictures pink with blonde hair.
Okay.
But I know it's coming.
Yeah.
But that's cool because you have such a wide
variety. There's nothing wrong, man. You know what I'm saying? I think about it like that. Like, It's nothing, you know. Kids are kids, man. They're gonna be how they're gonna be, man. Mm-hmm. They be, it's surprising what they end up doing, you know. Okay. Yeah, she's gonna be straight, man.
But even still, maybe he has a point. Like if he tells his daughter to close her eyes and picture a baby, and the baby that she pictures is a white baby, there could be something wrong with that.
You just got to ask where it's coming from or why is she getting that? Where is she getting that?
You can't ask at that age, though. I know where she's getting it from because she's surrounded by it.
Yeah. And then that's the other thing,
That's
it right there. That's
despite the
But shouldn't she imagine a baby like her family? Like, shouldn't she imagine a baby who you can't tell?
I think it depends on the, but
like,
when you think about children that young.
Let's say, for instance, she sees her dad.
And she looks just like Tash. You.
Let's say, for instance, she sees
her. She don't look like her mama.
She sees her father. You know what I'm saying? When she sees Darius, you know what I'm saying? She looks at him.
Now, they know when I come to mind, they better step back.
But what I mean, I'm not saying it in that sense like she's challenging you or nothing. I'm saying it in a sense like what Tash is saying. That's what she sees. She envisioning that light. You know what I'm saying? The lighter complexion plus my dad. Right, I can identify him as that too. So, you know what I'm saying?
I hope so.
She's big, man. Yeah. Girl. I've seen her since
she's beautiful, baby. Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember when she was itty bitty?
Yes. Wow. She's
she
big.
Could pass for Latino too.
She is. She's Colombian. She's half Colombian.
Oh,
like, she don't look it. She don't look like
what?
She look like her. She look like me.
I could see that in there too, though. Latino side, I can see that.
Because you know, and you've seen it though. Yeah.
Right.
You kind of recognize some people are oblivious to it. Don't want to look.
And I what? Speaking to Tash, when you talk about a child closing their eyes, if you work with children that young, it varies from day to day. Like their experience is going to predict what they color you in, how you look to them that day. You know, there are going to be days where they may draw you as dark. You know, and it's because that day they had interactions with people that were dark. And then the next day it could be light. So their experiences, and then when they start having interactions, when she starts having more interactions with people that are talking about color and talking about race, then that's when you probably will see, you know, her questioning it. But until she has those experiences, it's kind of hard to pick who you are. Children don't even think that deep until it's brought to them.
Because she'll start to think more critically about things. Because that's something she'll get older and get into conversations about family. And
For example, I have...
What are you? My dad's black. My mother's Colombian.
My cousin sent her kid to a charter school that was all pro-black market. You couldn't dress up for Halloween. You had to be like a black character. All of this. it was straight like that. The school ended up closing. They couldn't fund it. He's in public school now. First time him ever being in a classroom with Latinos is like at the age of 8 years old. And that's the first thing he came home and talked about. Like, Mom, do you know that some kids speak Spanish? Like, he was amazed by it because the first five or six years of school for him was all about African-American culture, all African-American. And now he's sitting in a class next to like an Ortiz who speaks Spanish. And he's like, Mom, there are kids that speak Spanish. Now, he knew he was black from his school teaching him that. But now he realized, oh, they're different people. Like, I'm black. He said it before when he was at the school because that's what they were teaching him. But now he knows, oh, I have to say I'm black because there are other people
who are not black
and they're in my classroom and they speak a different language. Mm-hmm. So it comes with time. Like,
so what does that mean for him, though? I mean, was it a hard transition or was it just a
realization? It's just a realization. Yeah. It's just a realization for him, like, oh, now I know why they were teaching me I was black, because there are other people in the world who are not black. I mean, he's amazed by these kids.
And they are being taught what they are too.
Yeah. And
what they aren't.
And what they aren't, right? So he's amazed by them speaking a different language. You know, he's just kind of like, whoa, Mom, no, they're from Mexico. No, and he's from here, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, aha, there are more people in the world than black people. Even though day to day you're in the store, you see all these people, but now they're in my classroom with me and I'm interacting on a day to day basis.
Let me ask you guys this question, just because it popped into my mind. Is this bringing me back to that conversation and the light complexion woman who had an issue with the light girls documentary? You know how we went through a period in the 90s, maybe it was late 80s, where it seemed like light-skinned men were in season. So Al B. Sure, Christopher Williams, the two members of Jodeci that couldn't sing. And, all of that is what was popular. And then dark-skinned men had a moment as well.
You had Malik Yoba.
No, it was Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
So yeah, the bald.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Right, that had a moment.
Made that.
I would make the argument that light complexion women are never out of season. We're in a moment now where you have somebody like Lupita Nyong'o, who is at the forefront of being everything that's beautiful about black women right now is like her. And you're seeing more models, I've noticed, in magazine ads and on commercials that have that look, the chocolate velvety skin, the short cuts, this whole push for Viola Davis being like all of a sudden she's the second coming as far as acting and beautiful, all the other stuff. My question is that real?
Let me ask you this, Kim, and this is not to decredit what you brought to the table, but who is making this assertion? You know, it's like
it's media that pushes it.
Right, right. But who yeah. Right.
And no, so, but and sometimes so you take, when sometimes you take the you can feel it in the culture when you have 12,
yeah.
But tell the truth. Like
In junior high, you didn't know why Christopher Williams or I'll Be Sure were popular, but you kind of knew they were popular. And then when being light was kind of out of fashion, yeah. it just kind of be like, oh yeah, the pretty boys du jour are not the love interest du jour are not the, you know, Shamar Moores anymore. They're
the Moores.
Well, I get that. I get that. But what I'm saying is like the girl from 12 Years a Slave.
Lupita.
Okay. Now, I think she's gorgeous.
She is.
That's me. But who propelled her to the forefront and put her on the stage and actually, didn't she win an Academy Award?
Mm-hmm.
And then the main character in that movie didn't win shit, did he?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
She had a very small role.
Right. And when you think about the movie, it's like she had some cameo appearances. And it's like, is this really point is a point here to bring her to the forefront as a beautiful woman? Or is it to degrade, you know, her counterpart? And I don't understand how that came to be. I think she's fine. She's fine, you know, but. They're finer black women than her.
I'll say this.
Okay.
You're talking about whether light-skinned black women are ever out of season.
And is this moment of dark-skinned women being in season, is this a real moment?
I'm going to talk about this season.
I think it's just
a fad. I'm going to talk about seasons in, like, fashion trends and then seasons in, like, what black folks on the ground, the folk, what they care about.
Right.
I think historically, for like models and fashion, you know, you couldn't be a light-skinned Jane Kennedy type model because when you were a black model, they wanted you to be a black model. They wanted you to be recognizably black. But the folk, regular down-home black folk, they love them some Jane Kennedy.
Yeah.
Jane Kennedy's bad. Like, right. And so
if you saw that video with Leon, didn't you?
And so, and so I think you're right. I think with black men, like light skin, like pretty, fine, high yellow sisters are never out of season. I do think there are times in the healing of our race and color issues where we are starting to understand, for those who haven't gotten it from jump, that, you know, black women with a fade are just as pretty and hot and sexy as Jane Kennedy. But for many brothers, that's not the case. Like, they don't want to be with a woman who's getting their hair faded at the same barbershop as they are, period. And so there is So for some brothers, that's just a non-starter. But I think you might have a point. I think with the folks on the ground, and I think about how the magazines that like King Magazine that appeal to the masses, mm-hmm. you know, they'll always have a bad light skin, or they'll have a bad girl on anyhow, whether it's Buffy the Body, who's definitely not light skin, right, or whoever.
But interesting enough, like girls that get that kind of popularity can be brown skin. But then when we get into like major media
or high fashion.
Right. Because I just thought about it. Could Beyonce be Beyonce if she were dark?
No.
No. Not to the level she's at.
Not at
could,
all.
Could we
be big, but not where she's at.
Could she be dark and who she is today? And when you think about past generations, right?
Well, Tina Turner. We never had a dark. We never had a. We've never had a.
No, she's not.
We never had a dark pop queen.
Whitney Houston would have been it.
And that was pretty big.
She wasn't an entertainer, though.
I guess Janet Jackson. Well, I guess she's a Jackson.
But she was still as Beyonce.
She was the same complexion as Beyonce. Tina Turner.
Janet Jackson.
Same complexion as Beyonce. I'm trying to think. You know.
You think of women who had talent but never were.
See, to me, Janet is successful, and this is not, it's going to sound like a diss to Janet, but it's really not. She is seriously byproduct of Michael because he is who he is, and she so reminds.
You have to give two more people credit. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Of course.
Her name is Janet Jackson.
But everything about Janet's image reminds us of Michael.
But I'm just saying, she reached a certain
height. It's like
height.
If Prince had a little sister that was looking just like Prince and had her own little sound.
Named Princess.
We'd be like, we all about
that's
Princess.
Exactly what she
my only thing is, like, Beyonce's level of big had its counterpart for its time. And I would say it might have been a Whitney Houston or a Janet Jackson.
But they're still the same.
How was it ever Whitney?
Yeah, because Whitney was in a different.
Beyonce cannot sing like Whitney, but Whitney definitely could not entertain like Beyonce.
Right.
At all.
And if Aaliyah hadn't died, it would have been her.
Right.
And she's on the. She's. Right there.
So, but who's the
chocolatiest
pop singer star?
I don't know any other. But let me tell you,
that's fucked up that we all laugh.
Tasia is a great entertainer.
She is.
I saw her.
But look how they went after her
on accident, and I was like.
Oh, she could sing.
Wow.
But that's like saying, could Gladys Knight ever be Gladys Knight if she wasn't so dark and like chicken and waffles? Of course she could. I mean, I think.
But to that mass level. That mass level.
Gladys is a crossover artist.
And you know what? But
without the pips.
And not only that. Even if
huge awesome. Crossover hit.
And
yes.
Gladys is one of my favorites.
Country Western folks love Midnight Train.
But would she be
a huge crossover?
But that's one song.
Okay, so name the chocolatiest.
But Gladys as an icon.
That's not.
She is for us.
For us.
It's not even saying.
As where Plus Beyonce is like
Tina Turner.
Worldwide.
Tina Turner.
Tina
she
Turner.
Was still.
World icon. I mean.
Yeah, and Tina Turner was still.
Totally. Grace Jones is known.
She dances. She's
popular
sings.
Internationally.
But what about the ones
Grace,
that
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Come on now.
But
she is known, but she's not renowned.
To me, Grace is exoticized.
Say,
she has that look that is exoticized.
And not put on Rolling Stone as the sexiest woman alive. Like, Fantasia's not going to be considered sexy. Now, by the brothers, maybe. Like,
after
she thinks she got this.
She made my.
Yeah.
She made
right?
My
but
I was like,
just
wow.
Worldwide perceived as, like, the woman. Like, you know, Tina Turner, they're still taking pictures of her, right? At 80.
Isn't
but
she
if,
like 80?
Yeah. And she looks amazing, right? But if she were a darker complexion.
We haven't had one.
You know?
We haven't had one.
That could throw on.
And Chaka Khan is gorgeous, too.
Yeah, Chaka Khan is gorgeous. That the world wants to see. The world wants to see in a little bitty dress, shaking her ass, and men, women galore throwing themselves. Yeah.
Was her hair fake back
then? Chaka's, oh, yeah.
But let's be real. Let's be real, though. Let's take Beyonce's color and put that to a side. Beyonce's a pretty woman.
She is.
I mean, she's bad, like physique, face. We won't mention hair, but all those two things. Beyonce has it going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? And she's incredibly
talented. I'm not taking anything from her.
Everybody can't have everything. You know?
Yeah. And she's incredibly talented. So, so her beauty, though, is not tied. For me, Beyonce's beauty is not tied into the color of her skin.
But would
her level of acceptance is
yes,
yeah.
Because could yeah. she be
at some point she was channeling the Shakira Barbie exactly, doll?
Because her look has evolved, lighter and darker over time.
Would the world perceive Fantasia as a?
But guess what?
The Fantasia
not where Mariah is not where what's her name Beyonce is.
She was when she first came out.
Beyonce,
but Mariah had her. She had her moment in the sun.
She had the same dilemma.
Right, because she had to choose Venezuelan. But yes, absolutely.
She had the crossover potential, but people questioned whether or not she was black.
Right, and so she's
guilty of it too.
Yeah,
I'm
it wasn't her, whether she was black enough that gave
the music
her.
That she
it wasn't whether or not she was black enough that made her a huge star. It was probably because she was racially ambiguous that made her the bigger star that she was. So
I don't disagree, but I'm talking about her crossover ability was because not because she wasn't.
And she played the black card.
By the time we reached 2000, she was trying to play.
And she did a song with OGB. Right. I mean, how much?
Because you think of
rap on welfare. How much black? Yeah. Much more
clearly black.
And she's international icon.
Yeah, Aretha's huge.
But who says sexy? We love her. No. When they talk about Aretha.
Aretha's the voice.
No, yes.
Have you seen Aretha's tatas?
When you look at the Supremes, which one stands out? The lightest one.
Right. Yes. I'm not saying they don't get their publicity, right? The world will receive a dark-skinned woman singing, right? And big, because they expect dark-skinned big women to be able to just belt out a song. But in a little bitty dress, who we're going to say, sexiest woman in America. Right. That's sexiest woman in America. When have we had the sexiest woman in America be a dark-skinned woman?
Woman in the world. What are you talking about, sexiest woman in America?
Those highlighted like
out of Destiny's Child, why not Kelly Rowland?
Right. To Kelly's be honest with you, she
Kelly
is
bad.
She's bad, right?
She's beautiful.
Right. But, and she can sing.
Damn, but she wasn't. She wasn't Little Magic. You know, she didn't have the body.
She
wasn't Little Magic. She wasn't Matthew and Tina's daughter.
Sorry, bro. We haven't mean to say that.
I honestly feel like this is where the struggle comes in. When we put in now, this is because of
but
my
we're projecting her lightness into her success.
But that's how the people.
I'm not in denial. I would say it's why a white folks can see themselves in her because she fit a bar. I said it. She fit a Barbie doll, Shakira, Christina Aguilera,
which we'll call it.
I'm just saying that you can be just as successful and not be that.
But we haven't been able to find an example that fits.
Someone said Aretha. She's successful.
No. Aretha is successful for having that voice.
Aretha was never going to be acknowledged as the most beautiful woman in the world.
She crossed over from gospel to R&B.
Yes.
You're not going to call her a triple threat.
Nah. Yeah. and she wouldn't be on like Rolling Stone or Time or People's Most Beautiful Woman in the World. When was Aretha put up there? Lena Horne.
Considered a sex kitten.
She was given
this. She's also considered light skin.
Yeah.
Lena Horne. But yeah, come on. Nah.
And see, that's my. I think about somebody like Marcus Dallas. Beyonce.
I have on no panty.
Dark complexion. Normally wearing a shirt.
Can you get it any darker?
Light complexion. Always having long hair. You put those two women side by side, the world sees the light complexion woman first, even if the dark complexion woman is just as pretty, if not prettier. Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with what propels her to success. And I'm saying this from my experience, having a light complexion stepsister and a darker complexion first cousin. I used to tell Chris, when we go out, we're like the weird version of the Apollonia Six. But it was one of those situations where if it were just me and my stepsister, my sister was Apollonia. I was that brown skinned girl in the middle. And then my cousin, by default, even though she was dark, was the white girl because she was the odd man out of the situation. She just got that title. If the three of us were out, my sister automatically was noticed by boys first because she was lighter than everybody. If it was just the two of us, everybody noticed her first. Then they would come talk to me next. My cousin always got it last. Now, my cousin had the better figure out of all three of us. But nobody would notice her because she was the darker one. And if it was just she and I, they would notice me first. And I picked that up early as a little kid because I thought, I knew for a fact I was cuter than my older sister. But people just saw her first.
Oh, damn, you're going to have to edit that out. No.
She knows that because I told her that. I said, girl, you know I'm cuter than you. It's just what it is. Me and
Willie Lynch will be doing backflips. You know, turn sister against sister.
No, I love my sister.
But I'm cuter than her, huh?
I am. Shit. We're stepsisters. My mama is better looking than hers. That's a fact. Wow. Ain't nothing I can do about that. That's just
fact. And it ain't got nothing to do with color. I wish y'all could see Kim. You know
what? Ain't got nothing to do with color. It's just fact. It's just fact. I'll put the pictures on the side. Y'all judge for yourselves.
Hey, Kim. The statement was cold-blooded by itself. You ain't got to put no pictures up. We believe you, Kim. We believe you.
But because I had that awareness, I knew it had everything to do with complexion, not how we looked.
It does.
I was like, this is weird. And I always felt bad for my younger cousin as a kid because she felt like she was invisible. You know?
I had a buddy at Morehouse and he was dark skinned. His name was Steve. They used to call us the male salt and pepper. I mean, we were poor, but I do know that we were, when we were in settings where the women were light, he would pull more, and then when we were in settings where women were darker,
you would pull more.
That was your thing.
And our people have a tendency to do that. I noticed that in terms of couples. Very rarely, although you do see it, do you see two people on either end of the spectrum together? They tend to gravitate towards opposites. Dark men, light women. Light men, dark women. The opposites come together. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But you see it. It takes place with people. And I think there's a reason why. Opposites attract.
For the record, I ain't do that. No,
So, no. I thought it was interesting. Listeners, check out Dark Girls and Light Girls. Just, you know. Good conversation. I definitely disagreed with the light complexion sister who put it out there that, like, what was the point of this? I was like, you know, once upon a time, I might have rolled my eyes at something like this. Like, really? Okay. But it took me learning and experiencing and having friends who had that experience and family members who had that experience enlighten me that is not necessary. There's a privilege. But there is also a challenge.
And this is why you have to grab your children, particularly your daughters, early on and start telling them they're beautiful from day one, regardless of their skin color, because you cannot protect them on the playground.
No.
And the playground is going to have a very large influence on who they think they are, who they think they aren't. Mm-hmm. So it definitely, you've got to pour that on them early, early on.
Because I told you I had to check a nurse. Who saw Isley and was like, where's her nappy hair? And I'm like, what? There's a reason why my hand should be coming across your face.
Did she say that?
But instead of me going nuts.
Who the fuck? Let's go ride on this bitch.
Right. Nurse. My OB's.
A black nurse?
Mixed race woman. Don't look like she mixed with what we mixed with, though.
She said, where's her nappy hair?
She said, where's her nappy hair? And, like, in such a sing-song, innocent way that I just knew that she's not trying to be mean. She's just that ignorant.
But why did you give her a pass?
I didn't give her a pass. I checked her. I said, first of all, the proper term you would want to use is kinky, not nappy. Nappy has a negative connotation. No, I said, but you need to... Right. I said, what you need to know is that all people of color do not have kinky hair. And you can't make the assumption that because I'm her mother and you see me with my braids and my afro that automatically my child is going to come out looking exactly like me. You don't know my history. You don't know who's in my family. And to say something like that makes you look crazy.
Hey, what? Call me, man. I'll take a nigga for a trunk ride.
And he light skinned.
That'd be a long ass truck ride. You have to stop.
You
could
just
be
whistling. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened.
He could just whistle.
But it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's sad, man. It's really sad.
It is.
It's more sad than it is crazy.
It is.
For people to just automatically.
But that exists.
Identify you
too.
As something. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Look. It starts there.
I'll tell you a little story. I'll tell you a little story. My mom and my father, they from Belize. What used to separate them, now it's a bridge that you could cross over the canal from where they used to live. So my dad and my mom, they lived across the canal from each other. My dad is Latino. My mom is black. You know what I'm saying? And they got together.
When you say he's Latino, if they're both from Belize, how do you make the distinguishment? Oh, they make the distinguishment in Belize. How was that determined?
Oh, they, because they look like the same. Latino.
It looks like, yeah. Chris is being modest. His mom is a darker complexion mom, a woman, and his dad looked like a straight. So if you see him in pictures, my dad saw the picture.
I don't want to interrupt you. I'm just trying to get it.
So what I wanted to say was, the story about them is they got together when they was teenagers, right? And my dad loved my mom, you know what I mean? He just fell in love with my mom. So his parents, neither parents wanted each other to intermingle, you know what I mean? Mm. So my dad's family and the way that they grew up, my dad's family was my grandfather. He had 11 kids. And every last single one of his kids, when they were married, they all lived together. So, you know, he wanted all of his family members to live together. So all his sons and daughters, even when they got married, they all lived together. So you can imagine my mom, she's the only black woman, you know what I'm saying, living with them, you know, at the time. And when we were born, because I was born here, but like my brothers and my sister, when they were born, the story goes, my grandfather would say, like, "Da who dem fucking dog day?" Like, who are these dogs? You know what I'm saying? Talking about his grandkids. You know what I'm saying? My dad. But when you say, you know, like my brother. Like
when you say his grandkids, you're talking about like you too, right?
Yeah. Us. They were racist towards their nieces and nephews, his grandkids, you know what I'm saying? They were racist. Like, they didn't want that to happen. Neither did my mom's family want, you know what I'm saying, to see my brothers and my sisters, because they were light skin complected. And, you know, my mom even had she started to have a complex because her two sons, my two brothers, when they were first born, you know, she was like, she told me too. She was there. She was like, "Oh man, they're light. But when my sister came, you know what I'm saying? She was finally a darker skinned complected girl. You know what I mean? So it was like a relief. You know what I'm saying? And then I had, we had twin girls, and one was light and one was dark. You know what I'm saying? So then it was starting to be like, all right, cool.
It's a trip if you see a family picture.
But, it was racism. Even in my own family. And to this day, it's kind of like still there, you know what I'm saying? And like, just to hear the stories about how my grandfather used to call us dogs, because at the time we were the only black children in our family, you know what I'm saying? That was mixed black, you know? And they all had, and my mom was literally considered an outcast. She was never really welcome. My dad had to fight all the time for her, every time, you know what I'm saying? And it was dealing with that, you know what I'm saying? Even in your own family, even when I was here, even my mom's family, they kind of treated me like that too. You know what I'm saying? My cousins, growing up with my cousins, because they were darker than me, and they were, you know, they were dark. They're pretty dark. So I had to go through them saying, "Oh, you're my aunt's. You're the aunt's favorite because you're like you went through with your grandmother." You know what I'm saying? I had to deal with that too. And I was just by myself. It was like probably 10 of us. Literally, I was probably the only light one in that. So I went through that even with friends, you know what I'm saying? And I never really received the benefits of being light skinned. You know what I'm saying? Gotcha. My experiences with that were always having to fight. What are you choosing the side? Even my teachers growing up, because my last name is Avila, you know what I'm saying? So even growing up and my teachers, they're looking at me. You know what I'm saying? My hair is curly, fro. They literally. But ironically, from the Latino side, I probably got a little more love. And even still, like before, they would, when Latino people see me, they come up to me. They initially speak Spanish to me before they would talk English. You know what I'm saying? They initially talk Spanish to me. So that was like...
When you say the Latino side, are you talking about family members or just Latino
people? In general. Yeah. In general. Okay. Yeah. Any Latino, really.
Because their perception of you is...
Yeah. Is Latino. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Dominican. Or they say that all the time.
New York too.
If I ain't Puerto Rican, I'm that Dominican.
You definitely look Puerto Rican.
They identify me with that. Yeah.
But, I would never affect you as Belize, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I had to deal with it in a negative light though. Yeah, I had to deal with it in a negative light. It was messed up, but I wish I could have had the perks, you know.
The perks I'm talking about come from outside.
I already know what you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? Cuz even a little bit of that would have been better than, you know what I'm saying, always having to fend for yourself. Yeah, it teaches you how to squab though, but you know what I'm saying? But
I
always
do
happen to go through with that.
I do. But you know what? When I feel like I'm getting the benefit of the doubt, it always causes me to sympathize with my darker complexion counterpart. Not even my counterpart, brother and sister, because it's like, damn, would they have received the same treatment? Or even would I have received the same treatment if I was darker?
You know the trip? Like, my brothers and my sisters, they fluent in Spanish. Some just use it other more than others, but completely fluent. So my older sister, she's real brown skin, you know what I'm saying? But she has nice hair, great of hair. And what I always see when we're together, you know what I'm saying? What I always see when we bagging on each other, because we bag on each other, the first thing she throws out, like, I have my dad's hair. You guys don't have my, you know what I'm saying, my dad's hair. You know what I'm saying? But it's joking. And then to them, when they're joking with me, because I'm a 5-year gap from them, they're like, we're not too sure.
They're older than you?
Yeah. They're older. I'm the youngest.
We got the same dad.
Yeah, yeah. They're always.
You're not fluent in Spanish?
No.
How did that happen?
Because I was born here. Oh. You know what I mean? And I grew up with my mom. I mean, I know how to speak the Creole English. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I can.
That's no excuse.
Yeah.
You need to learn.
I need to learn now. No, true. I mean, I know a lot of Spanish, but it's all memory to me now. You know what I'm saying? I know some. If you
don't use it, you lose it, though.
I
don't care what it is.
Because it's not my first language like it was for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I hear it, I could piece it together and then put it together.
Do something for you. When you had no choice, when you talking English and people talking Spanish back to you.
Yeah.
Go home for a year. I bet you come back.
See, I'm trying to do it now. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to.
Don't do it through no Rosetta Stone.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.